Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 182 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltacket. Thanks for joining me again. Today on the show, the CCFR is going to be on the road all over the place, all over Canada this spring. So Tracy and I are going to share some dates where you can come and catch up to us and maybe have a chat, say hi, that kind of thing. The CCFR family has sadly lost an outstanding member recently. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Tariffs, are they going to affect your firearms? So we're going to be having a look at some of those things, although that's a very fluid situation, and more on that in a little bit. And a disturbing video of some massive firearm-related criminality that happened in Toronto, this from Pierre Poilievre's account. And of course, you look at all this and the government does nothing. Anyway, all that and more, the CCFR Radio Podcast starts right now.
CTOMS has been a provider of trauma care training to military and police in Canada for nearly two decades. Now this emergency medical training is being made available to a wider audience through CTOMS online courses. Go to ctomsacademy.com and use promo code CCFR30 to get 30% off. That's ctomsacademy.com.
And thank you so much to our great friends over at Vortex Canada. They continue to support the CCFR podcast and the CCFR. Can't say enough about them. Check out all their great products at vortexcanada.net. That's vortexcanada.net. Vortex, the force of optics. Ready, aim, shop. Bullseye North is where passion meets precision. Discover a huge selection of top-notch rifles, accessories, and ammo. Whether you're perfecting your aim at the range or gearing up for hunting season, Bullseye North has you covered with free shipping on orders over $250, including ammo. Some exclusions apply. Visit bullseyenorth.com and remember to subscribe to their newsletter, bullseyenorth.com. A huge thank you goes out to our great friends over at the Saskatchewan Rivers chapter of Safari Club International. They do a lot of great work over there, including supporting the CCFR and the CCFR radio podcast. Check out all their great work at saskriversSCI.com. That's saskriversSCI.com.
All right, we are back. So I have a couple of things I need to share with you before we bring Tracy on. First thing is an update on Operation Pitchfork. I guess the update is I don't really have an update for you. It's a non-update, actually. And the only reason I'm bringing it up is in the last episode, I mentioned that I was hoping to be able to share something with you, disclose some stuff about a certain aspect of the project. In this, I remember I gave you the caveat, no promises, you know, not, I can't do it because I'm not far enough along. So the whole team of the CCFR, I think almost everybody actually had jobs to do, and everybody's been working hard on all their tasks and a lot. And I think we're just over halfway through this whole project, but it's really big. One thing I can disclose to you that it's going to cost somewhere between $500,000 and $750,000 to roll this thing out, like all of it together. Different parts cost different things, but if I look at the whole project itself, that's probably what it's going to run us. The fundraising thing, that's my problem, and I'll deal with that when the time comes, which is coming soon. But anyway, it's a really big project, so it's really a lot of work. Anyway, the task actually, I'm trying to tell you stuff without telling you stuff, but the task that or the aspect of the project that I wanted to share with you was something that was on my list. I did get it done. The problem is for me to show that stuff to you, it's got a website on it, and the website hasn't even been started, right? That's not a huge job, but it's just not done. So I don't want to show you all this stuff. You're like, oh, this is awesome. You go to the website. It's like, yeah, there's not even a website there. So anyway, maybe if I have to, if I can roll that aspect of the project out between now and 2 weeks from now, then I could, or it's like, you know, almost rolled out kind of thing. I could probably disclose that and just cover up the website just to stop people from going there and seeing no website. Or maybe that no, it probably won't be done by then. But anyway, I know it's kind of a silly update to give you, but I just didn't want to not mention anything. I said, oh, I'm going to hopefully have something for you next episode, and then I don't even mention it. I'd rather that not happen. So that's your non-update. And I will also tell you that I want so bad to share these things, right? Like, don't think that I don't want to tell you, because I'm so proud of the creative stuff that we do and the size of the projects and just the stuff that we do. I want to tell you all about it in advance, but it's just not the way things should be done. So that's the deal there. But it certainly is something huge. If you look at all the projects that we do, they're really big. Like Scrap C21 was big with a production for the senators, you know, press conferences on Parliament Hill and testifying to committees and the Integrity March and the Integrity Tour and the 68 full page ads in the newspapers and the lawsuit and the emergency injunctions. Like, we do big things. And I definitely want to tell you about them. But anyway, I'm hoping to share something with you in the next one. Again, no promises. I'm hoping to have the time to get some of these things done so we can roll this stuff out. All right. Interesting things have happened in the Liberal leadership race. Usually we talk about the political stuff with Tracy, but this wasn't a big thing, but I think maybe we should just cover it just for a couple of minutes. So I'm sure everyone, if you've been following this race, you know it's a clown show. The whole country is a clown show right now. You couldn't even make up where we are right now. But anyway, we will get past it, okay? Just keep on going. Just keep swimming, and we will get past it. So Arya Chandra, as you guys know, as you probably know, got kicked out of the race. He didn't leave. He got booted by the party. Not exactly sure why that was. But anyway, but hot off the press, Jamie Batiste from Atlantic Canada, he is out. He's dropped out. But the reason why I'm bringing it up is Karina Gould, if you know who she is. Wow, what a clown show, man. Just awful. She's still in. She's making a run at it. She figures she's got a chance, but she's been making some policy statements. And one of them that she made is that if she becomes Liberal leader, she's going to finish basically banning all the firearms, right, before the next election. So this is, now bear in mind what I'm going to tell you is from her perspective, before next October or November, right? This, all this stuff is going to be done. So ban everything from the gap list, she said. So what is the gap list? Well, the gap list is basically, and this can be debated, zero firearms in private hands in Canada and whatever wasn't banned, whatever, a month ago when they came out with the most recent one. Like, that's the gap list, because they add to it all the time. They make this stuff up out of thin air all the time. So she says everything will be banned, and she's going to roll out the buyback and have it completed, the confiscation program, all done by the next election if she becomes leader. And, you know, it's just amazing. Of course, Polly's tweeting it out. They're like, hey, look, Karina's going to do this. And it's interesting, right? Like, going to do that, hey? Well, Karina Gould is notorious for lying, like staring right into your eyes and telling you the most outrageous, demonstrably false things that you could just see the evidence right in front of, gaslighting, right? She is the worst gaslighter of the large collection of gaslighters that you have in Canadian politics. She's terrible. I'm not going to get into all the individual things because it's a waste of your time. If you're familiar with her, you know the stuff, right? Like the Nazi in the House of Commons. Oh, wasn't me. Like all the crazy stuff, right? So she says that if she's Liberal leader, she's going to get all this stuff done before October. And I guess spend the, what, $5 to $7 billion it's going to cost to do the buyback. So it's interesting. And so the reason why I bring it up, and it's so interesting, other than sort of the firearm news related component of that, is that something happens to human beings when they get into politics for any length of time. It seems you don't even have to be in it that long, but you become completely decoupled. Like, imagine a train decoupling from cars. Well, one car is reality and the other car is you. They just get decoupled from reality and they start spouting all this garbage, and in the form of gaslighting. And most thinking Canadians are tired of it, right? That's why the Liberals are being decimated. That's why the NDP are being decimated. And a few of the people from Quebec or whatever are running to the block because they got nowhere else to go, I guess, right? Because they have some objection to voting conservative for some reason, whatever. I guess it's like some kind of, I don't know, suicidal impulse or something, right? But now they're going to the block, the separatist party. Like, that's where we are in Canadian politics right now. It's pretty weird. Well, with all that going on, what does Karina power her campaign with? Gaslighting. She's not doing the buyback before the next election, right? The entire government of Canada couldn't do it. any thinking person knows you can't do it, but doesn't matter. She's just going to promise. She'll just, you know, break those promises later. It's like, yeah, Canadians are so dumb. I'll just promise them some stuff I'll never do. It's impossible, in fact. Just interesting to me. All right, last thing is I'd mentioned in the last podcast, so I'm going to keep at least one promise, is I have the list of all the clubs that have been donating recently in the last 2 months, really, and then some individuals. Now, the clubs, I'm going to mention them. I'm not going to mention the amounts because I don't want one club to be viewed as better than the other, but I'm going to do it in the order of the amount. So at least you get some recognition. And then when it comes to the individuals, I didn't get anyone's permission to share their names with you. So I'm just going to say first names and whatever, we're going to take it from there. So starting in order of amount, the Sherwood Park Fish and Game Association came through with a donation, a great donation. We talked about that one actually two or three podcasts ago. Hamilton Angling and Hunting Association. Okay, I'm sorry, but I have to break for a second. If you remember the story about these guys when they've donated before, and I got an email from them and it said, ha ha donation, because ha ha is their acronym. And I looked at it, I was like, oh yeah, this is like an anti-gunner. It's like, oh, I got a donation for you. And who knows, right? Maybe it's a rabbit's head or something, a boiled rabbit, like in Fatal Attraction or something. But yeah, it was actually a club and they donated. So anyway, haha's at it again. So thanks guys for that. Really appreciate it. Nova Scotia Rifle Association, Lower Trent Valley Fish and Game Protective Association, Selkirk Fish and Game Association, Prairie Pistol Club, Williams Lake Sportsman Association, Gravenhurst Gun Club, Walkerton Gun Club, also known as South Bruce. All those clubs donated in the last 2 months to us. And I just can't tell you how much we appreciate the help. And we are working ourselves to death in order to make good on our promise to you. So thank you for the help. We couldn't do it without you. And some individuals, Kari, Ryan, Jeff, Kevin, Donetta, and Amanda. So thank you all for your donations and all your help. Like, I don't know. I don't even know what else to say. It's just really awesome. And an organization, a business, and I never asked if I could mention the name. So you know who you are, but I'm going to mention your acronym. So it's PRA. I don't know. If I had the time to reach out to everyone individually and ask them if it was okay that I mentioned them, I would love that, but I can't keep up with what I've got to do so far. Now, oh, last thing. I didn't have it on this list, but I had it on my other list. A lot of people, especially after the video that I released in the last podcast, the last 20 minutes, you guys know about that. So I just want to say thank you so much for everyone that left just incredibly kind comments. I really appreciate that. And I was inundated with messages. I read as many of those messages as I can, because I'm just, at the end of the day, I'm just a dude, just some goofball out in the mountains. Okay. So, which means I can only stay conscious for so long and I can only work so hard. So anyway, my workload right now, as you guys know, because I got some personal stuff going on, right? Like a little personal project. And then of course I got everything happening at the CCFR with our massive project. And of course, all this stuff, I can only look at stuff and work so hard. So if you've sent me a message, and people have been sending me some really, really nice messages, really great messages, I just don't think I deserve somehow, you know, but yeah, thank you so much for all of those. If I don't respond, it's highly likely that I've seen it, because I try to look, you know, in the spare seconds that I have, but I just can't get through all of them. So if I haven't responded to your message, it's not that I don't care. It's not that I don't think that you're worth responding to. I just physically can't do it. Okay. So anyway, and I also want to mention, sorry for making this a little bit too long, but a few people did send me messages regarding, you know, my health situation that I talked about in the last 20 minutes of the last podcast. And man, I heard some stories, people sharing their stories with me. And I'll tell you, no matter who you are, even the people that shared their stories with me, there's always someone that has it worse than you. And that's one of the reasons why, no matter what I was going through, I was just like, yeah, man, when am I going to start whining? When I start crying about it? Like, people have all kinds of different challenges. Like in life, there's always going to be someone that has it worse, no matter how bad you've got it. There's always someone that has it worse than you. and has less than you. There's always going to be a ton of people that have more than you and have it better than you. That's just a side effect of having more than one human being on the planet. The minute you have two people, boom, there it is, right? When you have three or four or five or 8 billion, you know, it's just, there's always going to be people that have it worse. And that's one of the reasons why I've always kept my head up no matter what happens, because it can always be worse. And, you know, someone else is going through something probably worse than you. So anyway, really great messages. And I do enjoy that stuff. I'll tell you. So thanks for that. And again, I can only get back to so many people, but I really appreciate the outpouring. Really do. Okay. That's it. That's all I had to share with you. Let's bring Tracy on. All right. Via Skype, we've got Tracy Wilson of the CCFR. Wilson!
Wilson! Wilson!
Hey, Gil Taka. How are you?
I'm all right, man. How are you?
Oh, you know, just hanging in. Everything's crazy as usual.
Yeah, it is crazy. So why don't we get started? Okay. Unfortunately, we have to start things off on a little bit of a low note. A really, really dedicated CCFR member ended up passing away this past week.
Yeah, that's right. So this is Rusty Nodder from the North Bay area. Longtime CCFR supporter. He was only 56. He was a avid skilled skeet shooter, something I am definitely not. He was a member of Rock Cut Shooting Club up in Powassan. I spent some time there. Eagle Lake Shooting Club as well near North Bay. He had two kids, Nicholas and Tegan. And most of all, when I was reading his obituary, I mean, this guy was a really big supporter of the CCFR, really helpful. And, you know, it's common nowadays when you're creating an obituary for somebody, you put at the end, you know, in lieu of flowers, please make a donation to, you know, whatever the person's important cause was, right? And in Rusty's obituary, it said, in lieu of flowers, the family would appreciate a donation to the CCFR or the All Heart Pet Rescue or the Powassan Food Bank. And I got to tell you, like, that's really meaningful. And there has been a pretty substantial donation in his honor made to us. So anyways, I just want to send my, you know, my love and thanks and sympathies to the entire Nodder family and the kids and everybody. And, you know, hopefully Rusty's up there at the range in the sky, I guess.
Yeah. And his obituary photo was in a CCFR hoodie even.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've seen that kind of stuff before, and it's just, it's really meaningful, especially to, and I'll speak on your behalf if that's okay.
Yes.
You know, just for Tracy and I, you know, who were there when the CCFR really started, to see it become something so meaningful to so many people. And we've worked really hard to create an organization that is meaningful and does meaningful things. And to have that reflected back at us is just, it's the ultimate endorsement. So.
Oh yeah, it is. It sure is.
Yeah. We really appreciate that. And, you know, our condolences go to Russ's family.
Yeah.
Okay. We will move on to a little bit of sort of firearm-related news. There's a lot going on in politics in Canada. I don't know if anyone else has noticed it, just not just us two people, but something that's happening right now that can affect your ability to legally own and use firearms in some respects are these tariffs that the United States has decided they would put on Canada. And of course, the retaliatory tariffs that Canada wants to answer with. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, we have this incredible trade war looming over our heads here in Canada. I mean, you know, nothing is written in stone yet at the time of filming. Things are pretty fluid and they do keep changing back and forth. But yeah, at this point, American President Trump has put a 25% tariff on everything going into the United States except oil and gas, which will be 10%. And in retaliation, the Liberal government here in Canada is putting a 25% tariff on a long laundry list of items. And on that list, of course, are guns and ammo. So they would be affected by the tariffs. There's a really great video out there by Adriel Michaud. He's that hunting gear guy. He's also a CCFR field officer. And he kind of went through his recent inventory, like what has he bought lately and would it have been affected? And he had stuff from Germany and Turkey and China and the Czech. and of course the US. So, you know, I think a lot of the ammo will be coming from the US. So if you haven't stocked up, you need to do that very quickly. But, you know, for the most part, I'm not sure that this will have too much of a huge impact on individual gun owners. But unfortunately, this will be a huge blow once again to our importers, retailers, you know, the industry that's just been completely hammered by this government all along. I understand the politics behind it, but it doesn't make it any more easy for the people who are having to live with the consequences.
Well, I want to echo what you said. The situation is very fluid. Like just this morning when we were recording this, Mexico got a 1 month reprieve from the tariffs because they responded to what Trump wanted, right? So So by the time you guys are watching this, I guess all this to say, by the time you're watching it, things might be different. Maybe there won't be a tariff or maybe there will. And we're going to be, you know, up to our eyeballs in it. Who knows? But anyways.
Yeah, who knows? Or maybe we get a temporary reprieve. And in the meantime, go out and get whatever you can get your hands on. Right. So,
well, yeah, I don't think there's a bad time to stock up on ammo. It's funny because
there's never a bad time
because, you know, people are like, oh, you got to stock up on ammo. I'm like, man, I'm already stocked up. You know, because I don't just not to out myself as a serious prepper or anything, but you know, when someone says you got to stock up on something, it's usually too late. So,
yeah, well, that's exactly it. I remember, you know, the toilet paper fiasco of 2020. I will never let that situation happen with ammo. So,
well, yeah, I ended up with COVID. Actually, I was coming back from SHOT Show. It was the first time that I ever went.
That's right.
Sorry, the second time I went, was the last time I went, was in 2020. Because we were looking for sponsors for our old television show, if you guys remember it.
Right.
The CCFR's Canada Downrange, the sports shooting show. Mm-hmm. So I went, and when I got back, like I had gotten COVID from going there. And I know that everybody gets sick every time they go there. They call it the SHOT Show flu.
Oh, yeah.
Or the SHOT Show plague, but I got COVID 100%. And I actually went to the hospital because I was really, really sick. But as soon as I recovered, there's some rumors floating around about COVID. So I went straight to Costco. I don't even mention how much I spent, but it was a pile of money. So I had 7 months worth of toilet paper anyway, just out of prepping, right? So anyway.
Oh yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, I always try to get ahead of the curve. I don't know if that's just like maniacal or, you know, obsessive or something, but anyway.
It's responsible. Like you got to have your priorities, toilet paper, ammo. Like these are things we need.
Yeah. Well, nobody in my family was like, Dad, do we have any toilet paper? I'm like, you got any other silly questions? So anyway, let's keep going. So okay. I bumped into this video. I think it was on Facebook. I'm not on Facebook too much anymore, but maybe I'll be on it more since Zuckerberg has had a change of heart and they're not going to put us all in Facebook jail for saying almost nothing. But anyway, I was on Facebook for whatever reason, I bumped into this video and I, you know what, without any further explanation, let's check it out right now. And we're going to have a few things to say about it when we get back.
What you'll see in this video, it's brazen. Guns treated like toys and lives treated as afterthoughts. This was a group of individuals who seemed alarmingly comfortable not only carrying illegal firearms, but also treating them like props at a party. What started as reckless posturing escalated into chaos. They began to fire back at a rival gang, wildly spraying bullets into the street without any regard for human life. The task force has arrested 14 additional suspects and laid over 100 new charges. It's shocking behavior that underscores the danger these individuals pose in our communities. About 8 were out on bail at the time they were arrested. Many are still in custody and some have been released. All the handguns were illegal and they have all traced to the United States.
Now, I had not seen this video. You brought it to my attention. I don't know how I missed it because, you know, I like to think I never miss anything. But watching it was completely shocking for me to think that that's in Canada, here in Ontario, just in Toronto. The amount of people involved, the amount of illegal guns, the types of guns. Like, how is this happening? And why is the government focusing on chasing around licensed gun owners?
Yeah, well, there's a stubby AR, an AR as well, but an AK.
Yeah.
Like, that AK had like a 5-inch barrel on it, man. Can you imagine the Imagine the fireball that comes out of that thing, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe if they were available, I would buy one. But it's just astounding. And what really frustrates me, I think anyone that keeps an eye on what the government does with gun control and how they play politics with it and what's actually happening, Canada becoming so incredibly dangerous. The most frustrating part is you see stuff like this going on, mm-hmm. and then you look at what the Liberal government fully supported and fully and unconditionally supported by the Bloc Québécois and the NDP, by the way. Don't ever forget that, especially when the election comes. 96, 97, 98% of everything they do as it applies to gun violence is aimed directly at licensed gun owners, and about 4% is aimed at people like you just saw. Even though people like that you just saw, they're basically all the firearm-related violence in Canada. So if you look at Bill C-21, Bill C-71, the handgun freeze, the long gun bans, the multiple ones, the amendments for Bill C-21 that they tried to push through, right, and then withdrawn. Look at all this stuff, the buyback, like $2, $3, $5, $7 billion they want to spend on buyback from only licensed gun owners. And then you look at something like you just saw, and you're like, all of the guns came from the United States. So buybacks, C-21, C-71, handgun freezes, long gun bans, all this garbage would have done nothing, not a single thing.
And listening to that, that was a voice of law enforcement on that video, I believe. And listening to that, you know, if you could, that same type of commentary, Paulie Sissouvien would call that like gun lobby talking points or something, you know, like that's the part that just drives me nuts. Even to, you know, I see them tweeting, wanting to know the stance of Liberal leadership candidates. And it's like, there's really serious violence going on here. People are losing their lives. And they're just like still hammering away at licensed gun owners. It's just wild.
It is. It's just a total clown show, these people. And I don't know. I'd like to think that a lot of Canadians are kind of cluing into this. But anyway.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. Well, thank you. That makes me feel a little bit better at least.
Yeah.
All right. So to make matters worse, I bumped into this on X. Check this piece of stats can evidence out. This is a... this is a representation of illegal manufacturing and firearm trafficking. And if you look at the top row of this, in 2015, there were 105 known incidents of trafficking and illegal manufacturing of firearms. And look how it's risen steadily all the way across to 2023 at, what is that, 282? I don't have my glasses on. 282. It's like that's a crazy. 250% increase in 9 years.
Yeah. And that's the known stuff, mind you, I'll make note. But yeah, 250% increase in 8 years.
Yeah, despite all this gun control. Like, I don't know. I don't want to put too fine a point on it. I don't want to be nasty or anything, but you got to really have a screw loose to believe anything that the Liberals, the NDP, or the Bloc say when it comes to firearm-related violence and or legislation and regulation around that stuff. Like, there's just... they have zero credibility. It's so bad. Yeah. And people are getting hurt.
People are getting hurt. They're getting killed.
Yeah. Well, you saw even just even in the video, like these guys are sticking a stubby AR out the door and just shooting randomly into the street at rival gang members. Like this, I don't know why they don't stop that, man.
Well, it's like Hollywood level, like movie stuff that you would, you know, be sitting in the movie theater eating popcorn watching. That's real. It's literally happening right here in Canada.
Like, and a bunch of those people were out on bail, and a bunch of those people are out on bail again.
Of course they are.
So whatever. Anyway, I don't want to focus too much on that stuff, but just I don't ever want to be blind to what's going on. And anyway, there's a good reason why the CCFR holds the positions it has on a number of different issues that it does. It's stuff like that. It's just, it's in your face. These are not gun lobby talking points.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm pretty sure. I'm fairly sure. Anyway.
All right,
let's move on. So the CCFR, I guess, meaning you and I, have been on the road a little bit, and we're going to be at a number of different events coming up. So you went to Nashville. recently?
I did. I went to the SCI Safari Club International Convention in beautiful Nashville, Tennessee. And I got to tell you, that's a heck of a place. A great place to visit. I don't think I'd survive living there. But yeah, it was a really great opportunity. I got to go and speak to the Canada Committee, which, you know, aside from all the fun stuff that goes on at these conventions and, you know, there's a trade show floor as well. But it is really important to go and speak to other stakeholders and connect with the other organizations. For me, was I really want to thank Christine and Jason St. Michael at SCI Canada for the opportunity. But it was a really great opportunity to not just speak to the other people on the Canada Committee, but all the Canadians that were there listening around the room. You know, it was really important for everybody to really understand where we are as gun owners. And a lot of times, hunters have sort of escaped some of the attacks that gun owners, sports shooters haven't. But at this point, we're all on the same team, right? So it that's your true Team Canada effort. So that was really important. And then I also got the opportunity to attend the Sables Luncheon. And that's the SCI Sables program, excuse me, which is their women's division. And of course, there's a lot of alignment there between the CCFR women's program and the Sables. So I went to their luncheon, networked with other ladies from across the world who hunt everywhere. And yeah, spread some of our CCFR women's program propaganda all over the place. So yeah, just a really great opportunity. And of course, I ran into Jim, which is always a blessing. It's fun to see Jim Shockey. So
yeah. Well, the Safari Club International is a massive player in the hunting community, both in Canada and abroad. And this is all part of our effort to pull hunters in to this issue because they are being affected. Whether some people choose to pay attention to it or not, they actually are being affected. And they're next. Yep. They're next on the chopping block. And we put a lot of effort into reaching out to the hunting community, by the way, and trying to get them active. And one of the things that's going on is I'm going to the Wild Sheep Society of British Columbia conference that's in Penticton, British Columbia, in a couple of weeks. And the Wild Sheep Society has been really, really great to us, really helped us. And they're giving me an opportunity to speak at the banquet. There'll be 500 or 600 people there. And
wow, that's cool.
Yeah, it's just those guys are really, really great to us. Of course, we're going to be at the Toronto Sportsman Show in another month.
Yep. And then I will also be at the Sportsman Show in Quebec City at the very end of March. So lots going on.
I will also be doing the BC Outdoor Show in Chilliwack, British Columbia, which is close to where I live, but I don't typically do those shows, but I'm going to do that one this year. So if you're interested in having a chat, then I will be there. We'll come up with all these dates probably in the next podcast, because that's when a lot of these are going to be getting a little closer. And I actually was invited to speak at the Cornerstone Forum, which is an event in Calgary, a little bit more general politics, but nonetheless, it gives us an opportunity to appear in front of a new audience and try to increase the support for the CCFR and increase awareness, obviously, of our issues as well.
Yeah. Hey, the more of us there are, the harder we are to push around.
Well, right? This is the thing, right? Mm-hmm. All right. We covered everything.
Okay, we did it.
Yeah, it was a fairly quick one this time. Quick, but I'm not sure about painless.
Well, no, it's never painless when we're talking about crazy liberal stuff. So
that's you are correct. Anyway, I appreciate the update and we will see you in the next one.
All right, we'll see you then.
Are you ready to fight for your ability to legally own and use firearms in Canada and save hundreds of dollars in hunting and shooting merchandise? Download the CCFR mobile app right now. Keep up with what's going on in the community, watch the CCFR podcast, and get exclusive discounts from dozens of gun stores and other CCFR business members. Download it right now from Google Play, the Apple App Store, or the cancel-proof progressive web app. The CCFR mobile app, free to download right now.
All right, that's going to do it for episode 182 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Thanks everyone for watching and listening. Really appreciate it. Thanks so much for all your help, for all your support. And I know I say that incessantly, but I'm perpetually grateful for all of your help in us being able to turn the CCFR into a thing, into a going concern, right? And allowing us to do stuff like our project that's coming up and everything else, right? So anyway, thank you. Make sure that you get everybody you possibly can involved. We have an opportunity coming up. It might be a little further away than we like, or it might be sooner than we think, but there's an election coming at some point. And we're going to need everybody. One vote, one person, and we need a lot of people. You know, we can roll all this back. We can move the needle. It can be done and it will be done, but we need everybody to do it. So that's going to require you being an organizer, someone that says, hey, I know I can get 10 people and I can get them to the polls, and I'll make sure that I annoy them and even drive them to the polls if necessary. So that is our one like little grain of sand in the beach of Canadian politics. In Canadian society, we are like a grain of sand of influence that we only get to draw, you know, pull off the beach there once every 4 years or so. So we cannot miss that opportunity and success in everything we've been trying to do for 9 years, 8 years, I guess, really, that can be achieved. We got to get everybody. Anyway, all right. Only other thing I want to share with you is, remember how when Tracy and I were talking, we're like, oh, the whole tariff thing is a fluid situation. It could change at any moment. It changed from between when I talked to her earlier, when you're watching this, till right now. Canada got a 30-day reprieve, but you're probably watching it. Maybe it's changed again because I recorded this on Monday and, you know, you're probably watching it Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, somewhere around there. So anyway, changed again. But the one I want to just share one observation with you before I let you go, just like a minute or 2 minutes. Man, this whole tariff thing, it's very serious. But when I look online and you look at the manifestations of the political propaganda around it, how it's, man, has it ever been divisive? Like the division that I've seen over just the tariffs and how it was handled. And hey, I'm angry about it too, because it was handled 180 degrees in the wrong direction, as it should have been, by the liberals and everybody that jumped in, you know, and this is just my opinion, that jumped on the bandwagon. In my opinion, nobody should have said anything publicly. Just call the guy. When he started threatening, just call him, find out what he wants. Find out if you can deliver that. Find out maybe you were wrong and you fell down on some of your agreements and you owed it to him. Maybe he's doing a few things wrong, and that's your opportunity to address those things. I mean, I would almost guarantee there's a deal to be made there, because the guy is a deal maker. No matter what you think of him, you can't take that away from him. He likes making deals. So that didn't happen. In my opinion, they handled it completely wrong, but a lot of people disagreed with me, and a lot of people disagreed with each other, even people on the same side of the political spectrum. So it was very divisive. It was so divisive for some reason that we even saw people booing the national anthem, the American national anthem, in I think it was a basketball game and a hockey game. And then of course the Americans get mad because, you know, they got a lot of pride and they're fighting back against you on social media. It's just, I don't know. I think all that to say is, I think you got to be really careful when people are doing things to manipulate you, like the liberals did this whole time. They did it to create an issue for them, a way to redeem themselves during this whole collapse of their polling numbers. Like everything is a game to them. Your life, your livelihood, your family, their futures, your future, my future. I'm trying to do a lot of things to get my life back together after the things that I've been through. And now I'm trying to get things happening and push my life forward. Now they want to wreck everything, wreck the economy with tariffs, and antagonize the guy that's in the position to implement them, right? Like, hey, I'm just as frustrated as everybody else, but you got to be really, really disciplined and look at how they're trying to divide us, and maybe put our opinions for what they're worth, which is really not much. My opinion is worth nothing. I'm a nobody. But man, I saw a lot of division. So anyway, don't ever let them, no matter what the issue, tear us apart. We can debate things and I can disagree with people, but I'm not going to call them a traitor for it, right? Because they have a different opinion of me on the approach of, you know, fighting back against American tariffs should they have happened, right? So anyway, don't let them divide you and don't let them wreck your life. I've talked about that incessantly too, to use that same word. The liberals want you broken and frustrated and demoralized and disconnected so that you don't show up at the polls, so you don't keep pushing back against them. Don't let them win, and don't let them take any more than they've already taken from you. Don't let them take your happiness. Don't let them take your relationships, fighting with people, right? And I've seen that in my own personal life, people fighting about Donald Trump. Like, he's not my president, you know? Why are we fighting about that? Why are you so angry at me? Because I won't go just agree with the crazy stuff that you say, right? That kind of stuff happens in all our lives. So try to mitigate that stuff. Man, it really happened. It really raised its head in this tariff thing. So anyway, be on guard for that. We're all a team. We all have a job to do when the time comes, and that time is election day. So anyway, be kind to each other and disagree politely as best you can. Anyway, that's all I got to say. It was just kind of a strange thing that I noticed. Maybe you noticed it too. Let me know in the comments. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. Take care. We'll see you in the next one.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.